can just touch on Ohio State.
Because nothing really happened there. That was like a note. That was
the Louisville linebacker who was the MVP of the bowl game.
Yeah.
And got ejected.
He was the MVP?
Yeah. Number 50.
I didn't realize that he got ejected.
Yeah, they ejected him.
Okay. But I thought that was the first half. I don't, I'm trying to, that's so far.
No, that was near the end of the game.
Okay, okay.
Clev Lubin, number 50. Clev Lubin. There's your Bush's Big Fiends, Boca Raton.
Spelled by Cleveland?
This is, Dave, we're going to start the show now.
Okay.
You know, this is, we had a part of the rivalry, bunch of losers. Toledo, loser. Michigan, loser. Yep. Ohio State, loser. Only the Cleveland Browns. Two-game winning streak going into the where the sun rises on their true glory, the offseason. No better time to be a Browns fan than right now.
And the
fired
orange,
our coach.
And the orange and brown, Bowling Green.
All wide open.
They didn't lose in December.
They did not. Same color, same scheme. Yep. So there must be something to that. Happy 2026, Dave.
Appreciate it. Happy.
How was your trip to Dallas?
It was good, good. Are we still allowed to say Happy New Year? What's the Larry David rule?
I think that rule deserves an asterisk. And I think the asterisk is...
If we haven't seen each other for a while.
Okay, that's true. But also work colleagues, the first Monday back after the New Year.
Okay.
You get that.
Okay.
You get that at least.
Yeah,
I think he would agree to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. So this is the heart of the rivalry. We are in our third calendar year, but this will be the last show of our second season because our teams stink. Kind of a bummer. And you're going to take the Browns to task in a column because you don't even want to write about college football anymore?
Maybe.
In this newest of years, which is, Chinese astrology, we leave the year of the snake and enter the year of the horse, which is your boy's sign here, okay? That doesn't technically happen until February, so hang tight. But we are still sponsored by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee. Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts, backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship from consultation to installation. Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads. Combine that with 21 beers on tap, and there's something everyone can enjoy.
And another column this week, on a lighter note, trivia question, Phil. Kurt Cignetti, you know him.
Love him. It fills my heart with joy.
Our favorite psychopath.
Yep.
What?
Oh, he's got a... Come on, Trebek. I'm trying to word this correctly.
All right. What was his worst loss as a Division I coach and against who?
Kurt Cignetti's worst loss as a Division I coach was James Madison.
It was against Toledo. It was against Toledo.
Yeah. I only guessed that because of the contextual.
But his first game at Elon, which was an FCS school in North Carolina. 2017, their opener is at the Glass Bowl against the Toledo team that goes on to win the MAC that year. Elon and Kurt Cignetti, little do we know, we're witnessing greatness, but they lose to Toledo 47-13 at the Glass Bowl. And from there, the rest is football history. Elon wins their next eight games, and Elon is awesome, and James Madison is awesome, and now, what do you know, Indiana is incredible.
I would like to rewatch that game against Elon just to see him patrol the sidelines, see how much is the same. Well, so Happy New Year, Dave. He's Toledo Blade columnist Dave Briggs. I am photographer Phil Kaplan. I took in as much of the bowl season as I could. I was wrong about almost all of it, except I had Texas State scoring more than 39 points.
Love it.
Other than that, I couldn't have been more wrong about anything. I said my favorite moment is the Louisville linebacker winning player of the game, even though he had been ejected for targeting. That seemed to have missed you. But
I saw it. Okay. I just forgot the name.
But what was your favorite, even though our teams lost, what was your favorite moment from the bowl season and your trip to Dallas?
my favorite moment. I don't know. I guess we'll start with the trip to Dallas. Always great to go to Dallas in January. Not really, but no, it's a
I think
fine,
that's where Miles Garrett's going.
It's a fine, is it?
Yeah,
are they talking about that? Okay. No, Ohio State was probably a little bit surprising. I did not see them getting handled like that. And in hindsight, they clearly were not the team we thought. In their only two games against playoff caliber top 15 teams, you know, they just kind of they lose the battle on the lines of scrimmage, give up. I think they gave up 6 sacks all year, all regular season, and then 10 sacks to Miami and Indiana combined. And you know, you kind of wrote the Indiana game off a little bit as, oh, it's a week of distraction, the Big Ten title game. This is Indiana's Super Bowl. But we saw kind of the exact same thing play out with Miami. And again, I guess you can say there's a 25-day layoff and Ohio State looked a little stale coming out, but they just got whipped up front. I mean, it came down to the line of scrimmage. They've got some work to do there. And it just kind of, the first half really reminded me of the 06 or 07 BCS title game against Florida, where kind of a fat and happy Ohio State team that everybody thought was kind of the dominant team in the country comes out and just gets smoked by an angry and super talented defensive line. They weren't in the two games that counted. They just weren't, you know, they weren't tough enough. They weren't clutch enough. They weren't punishing enough. And as good as the defense has been all year, it was kind of fitting that Miami just won with authority on that final drive, just running it straight down Ohio State's throat, pounding them. And certainly when defense was not the issue in that game, but just in terms of winning the toughness and turning it into kind of a sledgehammer, rock fight, physical game, it was a fitting ending to Miami doing that. So, yeah, bad. This before the year, you probably would have said this is a transition season for Ohio State. They replaced 14 draft picks, breaking in a new quarterback, redshirt freshman Julian Sayin. But as we saw the year play out and you see all this NFL talent, I think Ohio State had more All-Americans than they've had in a half century. They had not a clear path, but a very reasonable path to get back to the national title game. Feels like a missed opportunity, but so it goes. It's hard to win a national title. It's even harder to win two in a row. So,
on TV, for me, it looked like Miami came out to run through any Ohio State player's chest that they could. They were popping.
Oh, yeah.
Did that in person, did it look that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they clearly came out with a Texas-sized chip on their shoulder. I mean, they were told, Miss a really talented team. They've got two All-American type guys on the rushing on the edge and a very physical offensive line. That's how Mario Cristobal, their coach, wants to build it from the lines of scrimmage out. And yeah, it certainly showed. Incredibly physical game, and Miami kind of came out as the team. It looked like they were little matter, little something to prove. So
they also, and this is not unique to Miami, but they have the identity of their coach. They play a bloody nose style, and every player, even when, you know, Bo Jackson, he'd rip off a 25-yard run, you say, oh, this is a great play. But at the end of that run, some Miami player was driving him right through the ground. It looked like a hard game to play.
I know. What do you think?
I gave up football.
I know. And that's why you gave up football after this loss. Sports are stupid, Phil.
They are stupid.
And the Browns.
They are stupid. But now is the time where I can shine as a Cleveland Browns fan and bureaucrat.
Because
this is all about moving the paperwork around.
It's,
we got a new stadium coming, Dave. Never a better time to be a Browns fan.
What, I kind of wrote about this, but I'm interested. Like, what do you, Ryan Day's legacy is so interesting to me.
Yes.
And that, like, the expansion of the playoff last year just completely saved him in every way. You know, before the year, each year, they say they have three goals. It's win the Big Ten, beat Michigan, win the national title. And winning the national title, it's certainly a hard one to achieve. But beating Michigan and winning the Big Ten, those are goals you want Ohio State to achieve, you know, every other year, every third year. You know, high standards, but so is the deal. But the last 5 years, think about how differently we would look at Ryan Day's tenure if not for the expansion of the playoff that enabled them to go on that romp through the playoffs. If they, not to relitigate all this, but it kind of comes back with another conflicted ending. If they lost that Tennessee game, Ryan Day's probably getting fired.
Yes.
But anyway, so they have, it's crazy. I mean, the level of consistency is unbelievable. You have to start there. Every fan base in the country would want a team that's at the top of the country every year and super relevant. All you want as a fan, the biggest thing is you want your team to be relevant. So Ohio State, the last five regular seasons, they have entered the Michigan game ranked first or second nationally all five of those seasons. I mean, that's crazy.
And they're so 1-4.
And in those 5 years, despite entering week 13 or whatever week it is, as 1 or 2 in the country, they have no Big Ten titles.
I know.
One win over Michigan. And if they didn't have the expansion of the playoffs, they would have missed the playoffs last year, and it's just completely different. So Ohio State's really fortunate to have Ryan Day, and Ryan Day's even more fortunate to have the high wire that John Cooper didn't, because it's just interesting. I mean, in 3 of those years, they've lost back-to-back games to end the season. So I don't know. It's just a new era, and I guess fans just need to recalibrate just kind of everything, because it's...
That is the John Cooper double dip. And anytime your name is consistently mentioned with John Cooper as an Ohio State coach, that ain't good. But Dave.
But Ryan Day also has national championships, just like Paul Brown and Woody Hayes and Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer. So you can mention him with those names too.
They did expand the championship.
Yeah.
They did expand the playoff, and he does have the championship. So it counts. This year's victory over the snow globe victory over Michigan was very, very satisfying.
Right.
The loss to Indiana, in your words, couldn't be more perfect. Yeah. I think every Buckeye fan just sort of wrote that off. Said, this is their storybook Super Bowl, but we're going to come out and we're going to play a tough game against Miami, which on this very show, we said that game's going to be closer than people think. But never did I think that Ohio State was going to lose to Miami until they did. And they just couldn't. And maybe if Ohio State plays a full 4 quarters of football instead of just the second half, it's different. But that 25-day layoff, that was apparent in the first, and that pick
possibly.
6
didn't look like Indiana had a 25 game layoff.
Well, that's the Cignetti effect.
And they played an easy team like Alabama. I wanted to ask you, we talked about this. Now it's kind of the thing fans are asking. Now that we've actually seen it, would you have rather had them win another national championship and lose to Michigan? Now that you've actually seen it and you don't get these next 3 weeks of joy, or would you rather sit with another year of existential angst and saying, Ryan Day's never going to be able to meet Michigan, and just kind of weighing on your, or is this just the best of both worlds? You win the national title last year and now you beat Michigan and that monkey's off your back and you can kind of reset and go forward.
I thought this was a fun, loving sports show. That's a torture device you just put me in. How am I supposed to pick that?
I still think if you truly gave Ryan Day truth serum, the Michigan game was more important than the national title. That being said, you want them. You want both.
I'll tell you what. If you do it this way, if you say your record is flipped versus Michigan, you're 4-1 instead of 1-4.
Yeah.
But the title goes away. Then I think you're
That's really a good dicey question. That might be a better question. Yeah.
I might, if I'm Ryan Day, if I'm 4-1 against Michigan and I don't have a natty, there's maybe less conversation about me than there is now.
Right.
You know?
I know.
And there's less John Cooper talk.
Right.
Which is what any Ohio State coach wants.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends on when you ask the Ohio State fan. If you ask them after the Michigan game, the Michigan game is more important. If you ask them as you're sitting at home watching other teams play for a national title, you're probably like, oh, man, that was kind of fun last year. But
let's take a quick break. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. When we come back, we're going to talk about Michigan's squeaky, clean, new, tough guy head coach, Kyle Whittingham. I have a little fun fact for you Kyle.
Love it.
No Lions, no Browns, no Rockets, no Buckeyes, no Wolverines. It's just into the carousel of administrative paperwork. But I think
basketball.
I think if you're a Michigan Wolverine fan, you feel like the sun is rising. Kyle Whittingham seems like a good hire. He's been at Utah for 20 years. He played on the defensive line for the Los Angeles Rams. They might have been the St. Louis Rams.
Who are you talking about?
Kyle Whittingham.
Whittingham, yeah.
Yeah. You were really with me on that delivery, weren't you? Okay. Okay, so who was Kyle Whittingham's defensive line teammate on the Rams? If you
good
said
question.
Hip-hop mogul and known intimidator Suge Knight,
wow, okay.
you would be correct.
Now, that's impressive trivia. Okay.
Whether or not this is not verifiable, but
did
there
you
is
ask
a,
him about that in the press conference?
I did not. But there is a anecdote going around that, of course, Suge Knight intimidated everybody on the team except
okay.
Kyle Whittingham.
I think fascinating.
That makes it pretty.
Okay.
Give you some cred right there. What are you hearing about the hire of Coach Whittingham?
I think it's a great hire, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bridge. I know he's 66 years old, but that's only 18 months older than Kurt Cignetti. And, you know, Kyle Whittingham is an absolute workout monster. I think he has some crazy stretch of like 4,000 straight days where he's worked out for at least an hour.
wow.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, we know that. It's quite the discipline to life we've committed ourselves to.
Is that different from Sharon Moore?
But yeah, so I don't think the age is an issue in this era of college football where each season is a thing unto itself. You're building teams, you're not building programs anymore, if that makes sense, the way things transition overnight. Yeah, I think it's a great hire. I mean, the perfect way to describe it for me is at his best, he is Jim Harbaugh minus the nonsense and drama and hypocrisy. And everything that comes along. I say hypocrisy because it's funny that on his way out the door, when Urban Meyer retired, Jim Harbaugh took a shot at him and said, you know, Urban Meyer's a great coach, but controversy follows everywhere he's been. And now, what do you know? 6 years later, Michigan is hiring a disciple of one Urban Meyer to clean up the mess created by Jim Harbaugh. The Jim Harbaugh era, at least. We can't lump them completely in with Sharon Moore, but they're cleaning house from the Harbaugh era. And that's why I think this is important to make an outside hire. No more Michigan man nonsense. No more,
yeah.
No more Biff. No more,
yeah.
Biff is fine. Stan Stout. I think Biff is great, but not to hire him. Don't go back to the well. No Jesse Minter. None of the former Michigan assistants, Jed Fish. So let's just get a clean break and move on to something new. And again, I say he's kind of like Harbaugh because his teams play the exact same style that Michigan fans are used to. You know, punishing up front,
yep.
Pounding the ball, establishing the run game. They were number two in rushing yards in the country, Utah was this year. And then great defenses. So physicality, and I think he's bringing a great staff, including one, including Mommy's Own and Mike Jacobs' teammate at Maumee High School, Jim Harding. He's been the line coach at Utah for a while, regarded as one of the best in the country. He's coming with Whittingham to Michigan. He got Jay Hill, the highly regarded defensive coordinator from BYU, so hitting the rival there. And it's just a good fit. I think he's the perfect adult in the room to kind of set this thing in the right direction. And with Michigan's resources and the way he's been able to do more with less at Utah, winning double-digit games for the last 6 years, I think the ceiling or the floor is pretty high for them. I don't know if he's going to be able to get them and truly contend for a national title, although he certainly can. But, you know, he's exactly the guy this moment demands for Michigan. I mean, I know he wasn't their first choice, but I think he's going to be as good as anybody could have been.
20 years at a program is a epoch.
Yeah.
That's a really long time. Well, we started this little segment on some trivia. We'll end on some trivia. Who was the coach that preceded Whittingham at Utah?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You mentioned
him
during this segment.
I'm joking now.
It was Urban Meyer.
Urban. Yeah.
Funny to think of him out there at Utah.
I know. It
seems
I
like
know,
you talk about an epoch ago. Oh my God.
Well, it's funny when Urban left Bowling Green, like a lot of people thought, like, is Utah even a better job there in the Mountain West? Just another mid-major job. And even Urban Meyer was like, I don't know, man. Should I go for this? Is this even a better situation? And obviously funny to think now because Utah's one of the better programs in the Pac-12 and now the Big 12. But times have changed, and only thing that's been pretty consistent is Utah just always being a top 25 program. I think Utah's really going to regret this, by the way. I mean, let's be clear. Like, he was forced out at Utah, which is kind of crazy. They had a younger coach in waiting, Morgan Scali, their defensive coordinator, and they were kind of, boosters were fearful of losing him, so kind of nudged.
I wasn't totally aware of that.
They nudged Whittingham out, and he called it a retirement, but you don't retire from a place you've been 20 years and immediately take another job. So it was pretty clear that... But yeah, Utah's loss is Michigan's big game. So.
So the Michigan job is his like retirement hobby?
I guess, yeah. And he said...
I'm going to take up fly fishing and I'm going to coach the Wolverines.
Well, he's a big fisher, big outdoorsman, big golfer, rides Harleys.
Oh, he'll love Michigan. Big outdoor state. No indoor kids in Michigan.
That's true. He was... So I think... And he's going to... He's rating Utah's top coaches from their staff. He's probably going to get a lot of their top players. And I think it's just hilarious that you would force this guy out. And now he's going to, nothing unethical. He's just going to take the guys who are loyal to him. So
I don't know if you can say that this is a situation that's coming up roses. I don't know if it's that good because there's still quite a stain on the program. But this is like, if you drop the peanut butter sandwich, you know, you've got the peanut butter and jelly sandwich open, and somehow you drop the peanut butter side, and it lands not only peanut butter side up, but also miraculously on a napkin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you can still, you know, so this is, I think, the best of a bad situation.
They stumbled into a major upgrade.
Yeah.
I had kind of wrote Sharon Moore was going to be on the hot seat going into year three, but kind of. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, they should probably fire this guy right now.
Technically, he was.
But yeah. So, I mean, it's an upgrade, and the only thing left now is to completely clean house from the past and get a new athletic director. I don't know if that'll happen, but it's what needs to happen.
Again, my insider information of my father, he is in, and even as an Ohio State fan, he is in disbelief that Ward Manuel is still there. But not our program.
No.
Okay, when we come back, we will clean house for another successful year of Heart of the Rivalry. Dave will take us through some of his favorite moments as we do a recap show.
A year in review.
He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. We'll be back for one more segment of your favorite college football show. I don't think I even did a proper intro. You know, where we tell people that the Heart of the Rivalry is the Blades college football show that covers the immaculate programs of Ohio State, Michigan, Bowling Green, and Toledo. I don't think I did that.
Yeah.
Well, it's the new year, Dave. I might be out of practice.
I don't know. Are we sure this is the last show?
What else do you want to do next week? This final episode of season 2 of Heart of the Rivalry is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action. Do you think Ole Miss is going to take it just to spite Lane Kiffin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Catch all the college football action as well as NFL playoffs at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverines still welcome. Heart of the Rivalry also brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. If you're ready to transform your home with Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. They might have missed it. I bet if you call and you mention this show, they'll cut you a special rate for this last week. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. Dave, clean house for us. What was your favorite moment outside of any, could be any program? Your favorite moment of the college football bowl season?
I mean, I think it has to be Ole Miss. I mean, it's
not just a
crazy thrilling game. Ole Miss's win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, probably the highlight of the college football bowl season in terms of just pure crazy college football excitement. But just the way that imagine what Lane Kiffin must be thinking watching his former team you know, kind of have the best season in school history and reach these heights. And it's just so funny. Like, he left Ole Miss clearly thinking, you know, he wanted a chance to win a national championship. So he leaves Ole Miss. And now, guess what? The team he abandoned has a golden chance to win a national championship. So it's just too perfect. Lane Kiffin, who always wants the attention on him, this has to be killing him. And I'll be fascinated to see what he does, continues to do to try to steal some of the attention away from his old team. Their offensive coaches are under contract with LSU now, so they're kind of splitting time, and it's still unclear if they'll all of them will actually coach in the game.
That's weird.
I think all of America is either rooting for, unless you have a dog in the fight, either Indiana or Ole Miss right now, because those are two incredible stories.
I have a limited fake impression of Lane Kiffin thinking. So this is a peek inside Lane Kiffin's mind. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin. So there's
it's
limited, absolutely. But you can see that it just sort of goes on right. Like that.
And I'm so glad Ole Miss told him to hit the road. I mean, just like Michigan, Bo Schembechler in 1989 told Bill Frieder, the basketball coach who accepted a job at Arizona State on the eve of the 1989 NCAA tournament, he wants to coach Michigan in the NCAA tournament. Schembechler says, no, a Michigan man will coach Michigan. Became a famous line, obviously, and promote Bill Fisher from the or Steve Fisher,
Steve Fisher,
and they go on to win the whole thing. Pete Golding is now the modern day Steve Fisher, and that'd be pretty awesome if he can reprise that role in the same way. So, pretty cool.
Okay, so you're looking for Ole Miss, Indiana, straight up.
I think
that's your dream matchup.
I think it'd be awesome. I think it's going to be Miami, Indiana, with Indiana winning, but Ole Miss, Indiana would be.
Miami
pretty
plays,
rocking.
They play tough football. Any of the four teams can win the championship.
Yep,
though. There is no doubt.
Ole Miss
all be
has
worthy.
The least chance, but they all have a chance.
So Trinidad Chambliss last year led Ferris State to an FCS championship. Is that correct?
In football, not hockey. That's what they're known for.
Michigan's own, though, for people unfamiliar with where Ferris State is. But the... the FCS title game is tonight, is it not?
Well, the Ferris State is Division II. FCS is Division I.
That's
right.
It's not FBS.
I did not know the FCS title game is tonight. That should be a humdinger. Who's playing?
Let's look it up.
No.
Okay, so we'll just
Division
leave that
III title game was last night, though, and now it's in Canton.
I watched almost, and as a Browns fan, you know, it's conflicting to watch a Steelers-Ravens game. The old school Browns fans will say that the Steelers are the most hated team, but I gleefully watch the Ravens fail.
Yeah.
It makes me as happy as any Browns victory.
Yeah. Did you watch a lot of that game?
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Did you see the priest sprinkling holy water in the end zone where the Ravens kicker missed the...
I did not.
Ohio State needed a priest for their field goal kicker.
Oh, poor Fielding.
But, yeah.
That poor kid. He's got to hit his kicks. But,
said my dad.
Yeah.
And your dad.
Yep. Yep. But, I mean, Fielding hits that kick before half. It doesn't make any difference in the final outcome.
No, maybe not.
You think maybe some momentum?
I mean, the game might have been tied at some point, but yeah, I mean, it didn't come down to him. No doubt about that.
Who's got the best momentum going in? We're peering forward through your crystal ball. It's August of 2026. Who feels the best about what they're doing?
I don't know. I mean, you can make a case for anybody. Bowling Green's probably tough because they're coming off the 4-8 season and they lost everybody to the portal. But even that's an opportunity to rebuild the roster. I don't know. I think you can make a case for Toledo. They've got a new coach who's won at every level and a lot of excitement there. Michigan has the new coach. They have a tough schedule, so I think 9-3 is probably the best they can do, but we'll see what kind of roster they put together. That's going to be exciting to watch. Ohio State will probably start the season in the top three, so I guess on paper they will have the most momentum, but... we'll see what they do in the transfer portal. We'll see what happens with their staff. They need to hire an offensive coordinator. Ryan Day needs to have an old. It's got young staff, young offensive staff. They need somebody in the room who been there, done that, and can kind of challenge Ryan Day's ideas and not a bunch of yes men. They just need some fresh, imaginative change of pace and ideally somebody who will call the plays to take that off Ryan Day's plate. I don't think that was a play calling masterclass by Ryan Day.
10 points and 14 in the, your last two.
Right, right. And with maybe the two best receivers in the country in the Heisman Finals, the quarterback, to only have 24 points in two games, that's pretty it's pretty hard to believe. But
leak.
But going forward, yeah, need an offensive coordinator. I think there's really real questions whether Matt Patricia will be back. I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to go back to the NFL, and he'll probably have opportunities after this year. But they're going to have Jeremiah Smith. You're going to have Julian Sayin. You're going to start in the top three. I think 9-3 is on the table for Ohio State too. If you look at that schedule, they start at Texas, they play at USC, they play Iowa and Michigan, and there's going off the top of my head here, but there's like five or six games where it's like, okay, I can see that probably win, but Texas is no better than a 50-50 game to start off the bat. So yeah, we'll see. The good thing for Ohio State is there will be probably a 16-team playoff last year, so Ryan Day's net just gets a little bigger. And I'm sorry to ramble on.
A three-loss Ohio State team wins the national championship. You heard it here first. We will be back in August. We'll be back.
Yeah.
This has been the Heart of the Rivalry. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. Great college football season again, Dave.
Absolutely. Made
ups and downs, unexpected turns, twists. So what do you do? Do I just leave you in here?
I'll just leave you
under the
that's
table.
That's why I brought my bag. I'll just start working on my basketball columns in here.
Okay.
And I'll see you here in August.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Which team are you doing for your high school series?
It's up in the air. You know, one of the teams we talk about the most is Liberty Center.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Because they're so interesting. Yeah. You got to get permit.
Have you talked
to
Casey
Muller?
The
school has to give you access.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have not. Yeah. Last year, Scott and I talked about Whitmer in Liberty Center.
Yeah.
But we tried Whitmer first and they said yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
All right. Love it.
Heart of the Rivalry. Bam. For 2 years we've been doing this show, you've been singing the Indiana fight song. Give me a little IU.
Bum, 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 bum. IU. Indiana, Indiana, Indiana.